listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll invite you to experience suspense with guest star Ida Lupino. But first, it's time for Lights Out, everybody. Lights Out was radio's ultimate horror program, first heard locally on Chicago station WENR in 1934 as a 15-minute nightly feature. The program was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. Tucked away in an after-midnight slot in its early days, the program offered imaginative plays so filled with sinister, throat-clutching sound effects that it created a sensation. When Cooper departed for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done some work for Rudy Valley. Lights Out really became Obler's. The final series came to Mutual in July of 1947. Lights Out went into television in 1949, running until 1952, but the TV program never really achieved the popularity of the radio show. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Lights Out and Death Robbery from July of 1947. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Hideous things come out of the darkness to prowl the tortured earth. Evil hands stretch forth to seize. Evil eyes are watching. Unholy voices whisper and quarrel in the fearful silence. Death stalks. Loathsome, horrible death. Dare you put out your lights and listen to Boris Karloff in a story of horror in the deepening darkness? Dare you listen to Lights Out?
I'm glad you brought up the question of ethics, Ed. Sometimes I think science is too ethical, stands in the way of research.
I don't know, David. Take your work, for example. It's wonderful, but you have to be very cautious. I think working with monkeys is about as far as you should go right now.
Oh, but Ed, David is past that stage. Why not show Ed the one you worked on today, darling?
If you'd like to see it, Ed, it's right in the lab.
Yes, I would. I saw it last night after you injected the poison.
I'll get it, David.
Thank you, dear. It's in the second cage.
Ruth's a wonderful girl, David. Must be a big help to you in your work.
Don't know what I'd do without her. But if she ever gets too interested in pure science, I'm going to lock her out of the lab and just make her go back to being a wife.
How do you find time for a wife?
Now, look here. All you practicing surgeons think the research man is a machine. Mm. Not me, Ed. Ruth means more to me than all the discoveries I might make. Happiness is all I live and work for.
Well, I can't say that I blame him. She's a very charming person.
Here he is.
Same one you saw last night, Ed. Stone dead. And there he is, just as healthy and alive as any other monkey.
Why, it's amazing, David. Naturally, I've followed all the experiments along this line, but You seem to have progressed much farther.
David can't go any farther with animals. He's ready for the next step. And he can do it.
Well, I'm all for research, David. But you have a moral obligation in this sort of thing. How do you know it'll work with human beings?
Oh, you're a surgeon yourself, Ed. You know that human beings are animals, just like all the subjects I've used. I know it'll work.
Well, knowing it won't get you far with society. You'll have to submit proof.
I know that, and I've tried every way I can think of to get a human being to demonstrate on.
He's tried insane asylums, penitentiaries, everywhere.
No one will listen to me.
Well, in a way, you can't blame them. Even to me, with my training, the idea seems, well, blasphemous.
My dear Ed, you can't stop scientific progress because of a so-called moral concept.
Besides, what could be less blasphemous than a triumph over death?
I'm sorry, but I can't see it that way. I wouldn't want it tried on me. When I'm dead, I want to stay dead.
Oh, that's foolish, Ed. Well, if I die first, I want David to use me for a subject.
Ruth, don't look so startled, Ed. She's always been my strongest supporter. But I'm not going to use her as a subject. I like her too well as a wife.
Still, it gives me the shivers to hear you talk that way, Ruth.
Why? I've seen David's work grow to where the technique is perfect. Before long, his experiments will be recognized by the whole medical world. And if I can help him achieve that goal, I'm willing to do anything, living or dead. I mean it.
Said she wanted to do it, Ed, living or dead.
David, you're surely not going to hold her to that. Not now.
Of course I am. She meant it.
But
I called you over here tonight, Ed, because I need help.
Don't tell me that.
But I want you to help me bring Ruth's... To bring her here? That's exactly what I mean.
David...
Will you help me? Or must I bribe some stranger?
David, why don't you give this thing up? It's inhuman.
Ed, if I succeed, I'll have Ruth back. Don't you see how much it means?
Well, yes, if you're successful.
Oh, I've no doubt about that. Look, I've got my laboratory record. 714 times I've performed the experiment on guinea pigs, rabbits, monkeys. 714 times it's been successful. Don't you see?
But, David, this is no laboratory experiment. Ruth was your wife.
She is my wife. The only woman I ever loved. That's why I want to bring her back here and start her breathing and living again.
There's an ugly name for what you're asking me to do, David.
I know. Grave robbery. But there's a better name for it, Ed. Death robbery. We'll rob old man Death. Kick the door shut. On the operating table.
I must say you are completely equipped.
It's surgery just as well as a lab. Everything we need is here.
There. Well, it's done.
Not yet.
You mean you want me to stay?
Ed, listen. Ever since Ruth... Well, I guess I've leaned on you for everything. I won't ask you to stay, but I do need you. Just a little longer.
All right, David. I'll stay.
Ruth will be the first to thank you when we succeed.
David, I'll always doubt this until I see Ruth living, breathing, smiling again.
It won't be long. Just a matter of 15 or 20 minutes.
If nothing happens. What will you do if your operation doesn't work?
Then you'll have just one more job to do as my friend.
And that?
Be to bury both of us.
Oh, now look, David.
If Ruth isn't alive again within a few minutes, I'll have lost her forever. And I'll have proved that my whole life's work is useless. I'll have reason enough to use any of a dozen tricks that any good surgeon knows. End the whole business. Oh, but don't look so horrified, Ed. We won't fail. Let's begin.
I should remind you once more, David, that you're usurping powers that belong to God Almighty.
I like to think that Providence has wisely held back the knowledge of things like this until we knew how to use them. And I know how. Hand me that large beaker.
All right. I'm not going to back out on you, David. What shall I do?
No, you'll work as you haven't worked in surgery before. Thank heavens I've got your skill on my side. Now then, first strap the sphygmomanometer on her arm.
I just happened to think of something.
Keep moving. This is all a matter of timing.
Yeah, but, David...
Here are your instruments. And I want the incision right here where I'm shaving the hair. Make a small incision just at the fontanelle while I prepare the solution.
David, have you considered...
Please work fast.
But, Dave, what? She was embalmed, you know.
Of course I know that. I've something to replace the blood and counteract the fluid.
It's ghastly.
Finish the cut. I know what I'm doing.
Well, that's all for the incision, but after all...
It'll work nice. Now cut away the dura mater.
Entirely? Leave the brain exposed?
Yes, yes, I'll fix that. I've done it 700-odd times.
Well, this is no guinea pig or monkey.
Well, I hardly need reminding.
Sorry. What's that?
A compound I've synthesized myself.
What is it?
I call it digammapyridamine. Oh, I know that isn't chemically correct. It's as close as I can get to it. I knew that something like it must exist. It took 3 years to track it down. It took me that long to make the first drop of it.
You know what you're doing, all right?
Yes, I do. Now, if you're finished, take the leads from that storage battery there and attach the positive to the silver plate on the shelf. Put that at her feet.
I feel as if I were doing something unholy.
Place the tip of the negative in the incision you made in the skull. Be sure the tip of the wire actually penetrates the pia mater.
David, what if you bring her back?
I will bring her back.
But what if you bring her back and find she comes back without her soul?
What? Her soul?
Yes.
You're a surgeon. You believe in a soul.
Well, I hesitate to say there is no such thing.
You've seen a good many deaths, haven't you? Have you ever seen any evidence that the soul escapes at death?
Perhaps I couldn't recognize the evidence.
Let's put it this way, then. If there is any soul, it either leaves the body or stays with it at death. Now, no reputable surgeon or physician has ever been able to report the slightest evidence of the soul having left the body. So the soul, if there is a soul, must stay with the body, a part of it. I'm ready now. If you've finished.
Everything's set.
Good. Close that switch then at the battery. Watch the meter and keep the current between plus and minus 5 of 150. There's a rheostat on the edge of the table. All right?
All right.
Now, I'm going to inject 10 cc's of adrenaline in the brachial artery.
Adrenaline?
Adrenaline and something else. There. God, she's beautiful, Ed.
Yes. She was.
She is. You'll see her in a few minutes, just as she was.
I wonder what you'll have to tell us.
Nothing. Death is only a transcendental sleep.
Do you really believe that, dear?
Oh, well, what? How's the current?
Let's see. Well, it's jumped to 180.
Good. Bring it back to 150. That's the result of the injection.
On a dead body?
Let's say suspended animation. There are still a few things in surgery you don't know, aren't there?
I never dreamed of a reaction like that.
I'll show you more. Help me swing this lamp over here.
But
let the ammeter go. It'll hold steady for a minute now.
But it might jump again.
No, it won't. I've been all through this before. Reactions are exactly the same as the others.
And this lamp? X-rays?
No, it's a modification of the cathode ray. And just another of my developments. I call these our theta rays.
Why do you call them that?
Well, most rays are named for the first few letters in the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma, and so on.
Well, that explains theta. Didn't you say our theta?
Yes. But theta was called the letter of death by the ancient Greeks.
Well, that's right. It was the first letter in the word thanatos. Death.
I see.
A theta without death.
Maybe I was too sentimental.
Maybe. At least human for once.
Let's not argue. Here goes the ray. Now, quickly. The solution.
Inject it?
No, pump it. I built this pump especially for it. There's the pump switch, Ed.
Here?
Yeah. Turn it on and watch the ammeter.
Okay. Jumping.
How far?
155.
Let it go.
160. 170.
Hold it there.
It'll stay there now. Listen carefully.
Yes.
As soon as I turn off the pump, I want sphygmo readings.
But there won't be any blood pressure.
Wait and see. Give me a reading each time I ask for it and take them carefully. Are you ready?
Oh, this is fantastic. I'm ready.
Okay. Reading.
Systolic zero. Diastolic zero.
That's all right. It'll take a few seconds. Now.
40.
My God. Diastolic. Hurry.
Zero.
My aortic valve is still open. I'll turn off the ray. Reading.
48. Over 42. David.
Not yet. Now the stopwatch. 7 seconds after I say go, I want the systolic. Now you have it?
Right.
Ready. Now, go. Good. Just what it should be. Lord. Look at my hand.
I don't wonder.
Ruth, darling, just a few more minutes. All right, Ed. Now the ray again. We'll know the answer very soon.
The second act of Lights Out, starring Boris Karloff, will follow in just a moment.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
How long do you use the ray this time, David?
Not long. Give me a reading.
68. Over 67.
Now.
70.
Diastolic.
68.
Now.
David. 118. 76.
Close. Now.
120. That's it. 80.
The stethoscope, quick. Here. Listen.
Sleep?
Yes, almost a coma.
She's all right otherwise.
As far as I can tell, her respiration's normal, pulse just a tiny bit fast, and reflexes slow, but apparently all right.
David, I feel I must apologize to you.
Apologize? Why?
Well, for doubting you, I suppose.
You'll learn to believe me.
Very calm in the face of all this. Do you realize that you've performed a miracle?
A miracle? I've brought my wife back to me, as I promised her.
It's an unholy thing, but...
But we've conquered death. Is that unholy?
We have conquered death. May God forgive us.
She'll only wait now.
How long has she been asleep?
Let me see. 11 hours.
Hasn't spoken at all?
Not since that first scream, when she fell asleep.
Have you given her anything?
Just a few drops of brandy.
Have you tried, Wake?
No, but I think I'll try now.
Oh, wait a minute before you do.
Why?
Well, I... hate to keep harping on this business about a soul, David. I realize this is no place for a philosophic discussion, but I can't help wondering why Ruth screamed when she first came back to life.
I think there's a logical explanation. After all, it must have been a physical shock.
That's true. It must also be true that there was a great mental shock involved. I think that's why she screamed, and I'm wondering whether there's been a permanent effect on her mind. Always I prefer to think of it, her soul.
Oh, you're simply borrowing trouble, Ed. I've never seen any sign of permanent damage in my other experiments.
Don't forget that Ruth was a human being.
Well, there's only one way to find out. I'm going to wake her.
You're not afraid?
Afraid? Of what? Ruth. Ruth. Wake up, darling. Ruth, dear, it's David speaking. Wake up, dearest. Ruth. Ruth.
Ah!
Look out! Oh, darling. No wonder it scared a poor girl. Ruth, it's David, dear. I kept my promise and you're alive again.
Father,
oh, you're all right, honey. It's David. You're... Ruth. Ruth.
David, what's the matter?
Ruth. God, it's her mind.
No, David. Her soul.
David, you'd better go out for a little exercise now.
I'll stay here with her.
I'll stay while you go out and walk around a bit. You've been there with her since 8 o'clock last night without any letter. Go on, I'll stay.
Ed.
I know, old boy. I'd give anything myself if we could undo what we've done, but...
Ed, what can I do?
Well, there may be something. Let's try an experiment when she wakes up again.
What kind of an experiment?
Well, let's see if we can talk to her, get her to say anything. If we can get a flicker of intelligence, maybe we can teach her, build up from a small fragment.
Maybe it might work. I'm going to wake her up and try.
But not now. Why don't you take a walk? Relax a little. And get something to eat while you're out.
Eat? I can't eat. I'm going to wake her. Ruth. Ruth.
David, why not let her sleep?
She's waking up now. Ruth. Hello, Ruth. Are you waking up?
Poor child.
There.
She repeats after me. A little. Maybe it will work, Ed. Ruth.
Ruth!
David.
David!
It works.
Seems to. Ruth, say I want a glass of water.
Seems to.
I want a glass of water.
Water.
It's too long for her. Ruth. Say, Ruth.
Ruth.
Loves.
Love.
David.
David.
Ruth. Loves David.
Ruth loves David.
Ruth loves David.
Ruth loves David. Ruth loves David.
It's working, Ed. Maybe. But what is she thinking?
I don't know.
No.
Ruth, stop it.
Stop it.
Wait a minute, old man.
Ruth loves
too much
David.
For you, tired as you are. Go on out and take a little walk, and I'll work with her for a while.
Stop.
Your nerves won't take much of this.
Oh, I guess you're right, Ed. I can't think anymore.
Ruth loves.
I'll be right there.
Fine. Uh-huh. I'll take good care of her and see what I can find out.
Be patient.
Don't worry. I will. And you get something to eat while you're out.
All right, I'll try.
Poor guy, this is really rough on him.
Rough on him?
Ruth. We're kidding ourselves. There's nothing there. She's a parrot.
Dad!
Never mind, Ruth. Ruth, put down that scalpel.
Scalpel!
You'll hurt yourself. Ruth! Stay away! You devil, put it down! Think of David!
Ed, for God's sake, what happened?
Ruth.
I'll get something and fix you right up.
Wait. No use.
Now look.
Doctor. Artery. No hope.
Ed. All right, Doctor. Your diagnosis is correct.
A minute or two left. Ruth's hiding. Watch out. No soul. She'll kill you, too.
What have I done, Ed? Everything I've done is wrong.
Wonderful technique, Doctor. Congratulations. What about soul.
Ed. Ed. Ruth. She's somewhere in the house. What if she gets out? A scalpel in her hands. There's been enough damage. Ruth! Ruth! Basement. I'd better take a gun. Ruth! Ruth, now give me that scalpel. You'll hurt yourself. Ruth.
Ruth, love, David.
Ruth, come back.
Ruth, love, David.
Come back! Hello? Yes? Oh. Hello, Doctor. Well, I've been busy in the lab. No. No, there's nothing new. Just an experiment. No. Like so many experiments, it just didn't work out.
Eversharp Shake has just presented Boris Karloff in the first of the new series of mystery and terror stories, Lights Out. Lights Out will bring you a story about the undead, the vampires who are doomed to wander alone through all eternity, seeking the blood of innocent ones. Be sure to listen next Wednesday night at the same time. Lights Out is produced and directed by Bill Lawrence. The script is by Paul Pierce and Willis Cooper. This is Ken Niles speaking for Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Schick Injector razors and blades. Buy now and save as much as 60%. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
From July of 1947, it's been Lights Out with Death Robbery. In a moment, we'll experience suspense with guest star Ida Lupino as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, was first broadcast on CBS in June of 1942. Suspense dealt with life or death situations. That element was usually established within the first few moments. Then, through characterization and audio coloring, small touches were added to heighten the sensation of impending doom. Ultimately, that's what suspense was all about, the slow tightening of the knot. Suspense was known as an actor's theater. Such stars as Cary Grant, Charles Laughton, Humphrey Bogart, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre, Henry Fonda, and others headed the casts. Suspense opened to the ringing of soft church bells intermingled with stinging music. By the fall of the first year, Joseph Kearns, the grim-voiced fellow known as the Man in Black, was aboard as narrator. That continued through the Roma wine years with Truman Bradley, another of radio's very distinguished voices, doing the commercials. The Man in Black disappeared by the time the program went to 60 Minutes in 1948. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Suspense and The Bullet, guest starring Ida Lupino from December of 1949. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Miss Ida Lupino in The Bullet, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear. And now with The Bullet and the performance of our star, Miss Ida Lupino as Ruth Martin, with Elliot Lewis as her husband, Harry, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Ruth? Turn around, Ruth.
No.
Turn around, Ruth. I've got the gun in my hand.
Please, Harry. Please.
I'm pressing the trigger. Will it be this time?
Harry, don't. Don't do this to me.
Will it be this time, Ruth? Will it be this time?
Yes, Harry. Yes, this time. This time I'd die, and it was like drowning. Going down for the last time. Everything flooding through my mind. How step by step we'd come to this point. Neither one of us wanting to. From the day Harry came back from prison, meeting me in the station. Pale, haggard, in a suit two sizes too big, nothing left but his stupid pride. And me. Well, I suppose I was quite a shock to Harry. He looked at me so strangely all the way as we walked back to the parking lot for the car.
What'd you do to yourself? You're so changed.
For the better, I hope.
Just changed.
Now, is that being gallant?
Gallant?
When I came out of the kitchen to take over the business, Harry, while you were away, I had to change for my apron.
Had to dye your hair, too. Had to become a real glamour girl, huh? That dress, is that one of ours? How's business going? You hardly mentioned it in your letters. Holding its own?
Better than that. Just about tripled our volume since you went away. Well, here we are.
What?
The car. Here's the car.
This chromium wonder?
Sure, it's yours. Here's the key. Go on. We can afford it.
Little lady really took over. Where's the starter?
Right there. Oh, Harry, somebody had to take over when you went away. After all, dress styles are changing all the time. Don't have a chip on your shoulder.
Well, another thing. What's this when you went away routine? Like maybe I went to China. I took a chance in my business and I lost. So they dumped me into the hoosegow for 3 years. I'm not ashamed of it, so don't you...
You're going the wrong way, Harry.
Well, I guess I know the way to my own house.
But we live in the new house. Something really special.
What goes on here?
What's wrong with you? I did the best I could to keep things going. There's nothing to be jealous of.
Jealous?
Oh, Harry, why are we fighting?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got nothing to fight about. I'm back in the business, and you can go back to taking care of the house, cooking.
No, I...
Keeping things looking nice?
No, Harry, I...
Letting your hair get back to the color it used to be.
I can't do it.
Well, we'll see, baby.
Look, I don't want to be the boss.
Thanks.
But I can be of help to you.
Sure, have a nice hot dinner waiting for me when I come home from work.
We can afford a cook for that now.
Cook? You're all the cook we need.
Harry, I'm not the same anymore. I just can't sit home and wait for you to come and tell me what the world's all about.
Then you're going to have to learn, baby. You're just going to have to learn.
But nothing worked out the way Harry planned it. He found he couldn't keep me home. He put me in a corner in the office. Got out to prove he didn't need me at all. Only 3 years is a long time to be away from anything. We're new buyers. The buyers didn't know him. They knew me.
No, this is not what I wanted, Mr. Martin.
Well, I'll show you something else. Got plenty of time.
Can't really say that I have. Didn't I see Mrs. Martin in your office when I came in today?
Well, she's just getting things in order before she retires back to the kitchen.
She always knows exactly what I want. Could you send for her, please?
But I'm sure I can show
you. Would you mind?
No. No, I wouldn't mind.
One blow after another at its stupid pride. Most of the workers had never known Harry. They were used to taking their orders from me. But he had to show them he was still the big shot.
Stop that machine.
Huh?
Oh, yes, sir. I want these coats cut with a flare 3 inches longer.
Oh, but Mrs. Martin
worked
out.
Don't tell me what Mrs. Martin worked out. That sign out on the front window says Harry Martin.
Oh, yes, sir, but...
Nothing. Cut it the way I told you.
But these new machines Mrs. Martin installed, they don't operate like that.
What?
That's why we changed over.
I see.
So, shall I do it like Mrs. Martin said, sir?
Yeah, just like Mrs. Martin said.
It got so we were like two strangers. Harry wouldn't even look at me anymore. I think he actually began to hate me. And then the final thing. He began finding out about George. Oh, listen, I'm no angel, but 3 years. I'm not trying to defend myself. It's just that it's terrible to be lonely. And George came along and treated me like I was somebody to respect, somebody with dignity. Well, then I began to realize that when I took the car someplace, Harry's car would bob up behind me, follow for a few blocks, then disappear. I'd be shopping in a store. Suddenly, Harry's face would begin to weave in and out of the crowd, then disappear. Or coming into the office one day and finding Harry had put an extension on my phone. I was being stifled. I couldn't breathe anymore. I didn't dare see George anymore. I hardly dared phone him. So it's like prohibition of any kind. It began to be important. George had never really meant very much to me. But now I started thinking he was the only thing I had to hang on to. And Harry, always playing little jokes, setting his little traps. Like the morning he left for the office early. Some business to take care of. Hearing his car back out of the garage, move down the street, thinking I was free for a few minutes. Free to call George after all these days.
Hello?
George?
Ruth, darling, where have you been? Why haven't I heard from you?
Oh, George, I wanted to call...
George who? George who? What's the full name, baby?
I heard you leave.
Had the gardener take the car to the gas station. Dial George again, baby. Finish the conversation.
Listen, you're driving me crazy with these tricks. What's wrong with you?
Here's the phone. Dial him again.
Dial who?
Who are you talking to?
The Beaver Knitting Mill. George Baker. He's one of their salesmen.
Why did you hang up so quick?
You startled me. What are you doing?
Of course, 3 years is a long time. But 3 years ago, the Beaver and Knitting Mill never opened before 9.
Harry,
you must have dialed wrong, baby. There's no answer.
Sneaking around behind my back. Spying on me. Checking on my phone calls. Harry, I'm not going on this way. I'm not going to let you drive me crazy.
What do you think you're going to do about it?
I want a divorce.
You mean that?
Yes.
He must be quite a guy.
Listen to me.
No. You listen, lady. Okay, it's a deal. You'll get your divorce, but on my terms, lady. All the way down the line.
What kind of terms?
I know all about the laws in this state, 50-50 on everything. But it's not going to be that way with us. You give me a release, giving me the whole business, and you're free as the air.
Give you the business? But I built the business. There was nothing left when you went to prison.
That's my deal, kiddo.
My whole life is tied up with that business. I work.
That's the deal.
Why are you doing it, Harry?
Because whoever this bum is...
There's no one.
Whoever he is. I got a hunch when he hears you're not bringing half the business as a dowry, his great love is just going to shrivel up and die.
That's what you believe, is it?
Exactly.
All right, Harry. You draw up the papers.
Ruth, I just don't know what to say.
But to be free. Free to be with you, darling.
Oh, what kind of freedom is it when you have to grub for a buck? That kind of freedom you can feed to the pigeons.
George, don't talk like that.
We're not a couple of 19-year-old kids running off on a motorcycle. If you give up your business, how are we supposed to live?
That's the only way he'll let me go.
Then don't go.
He was right. What he said about you was right.
If he said I didn't care for you very, very much, then he was wrong. But if he said I like it nice with enough money coming in to make it comfy, and Howie was right.
Shut up.
What was that for? Because I'm honest with you? Aren't you even going to say goodbye?
No, I can't say goodbye. Not now. I can't be alone. I've got to have somebody.
Well, it isn't me, baby. Never was. Oh, baby.
Will I see you tonight?
No,
Will you call me? I feel, I don't know, lost. I'll be at the office tonight. I'll be there alone waiting for your call. George, will you call me?
All right, Ruth. Be there at 10. I'll call you.
He wasn't that important to me. I wanted affection and love from somebody so much. George would be calling at the office at 10 o'clock. It seemed that's all there was for me. I walked. I sat in the park. I waited. A telephone call from George. When I got to the building, I looked up at our windows. Dark. A light on the whole floor. When I got to the outer door of the office, I stopped and listened. Not a sound. I went inside. Found the light switch.
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Ruth. Where have you been?
Harry, why were you waiting here in the dark?
I tried to take a snooze, just stretched out here for a minute. I haven't been sleeping much lately.
Yes, I know.
You neither have been.
No, not much.
I have the paper. I left it here on your desk.
Paper?
That's all very legal. You relinquish all claims to the business, then I'd bow out of your life.
No.
These lawyers, they can find word. What'd you say?
I've changed my mind. I'm going to sign it.
It's the only way I'll give you a divorce.
Then we'll just have to forget about the divorce.
I want you to sign this paper, Ruth.
I won't, Harry. And I don't want to argue about it.
Wait.
Yes?
I know who he is, baby.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about George Groves.
Groves? George Groves?
You've been giving him money.
That's a lie.
I found this deposit slip weeks ago in your writing made out to his bank account, $300.
Lies.
And this deposit slip, $200. And this one, $250. Who is he? You're not getting out of here until you tell me who he is.
Harry, I wanted to tell you, but I just couldn't.
Who is he?
He's a gambler.
Gambler? Who are you kidding?
You asked me. I told you. Now I'm going.
Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense. You never gambled?
Well, I was like a lost dog. Nothing to do, no one to turn to. I lost that money and quite a bit more.
Ruth, if that were true...
It is true.
There isn't any other man.
There never was. 10 o'clock.
George Groves, a gambler. Oh, here, you shouldn't keep these things lying around, baby.
I've got to go, Harry.
Ruth. Since I got off the train a month ago, I've been acting like I don't know what. You think we've got any chance to start all over again? Right from the beginning, baby?
I don't know, Harry. I can't think straight. Let's go someplace. Let's not talk about it here.
No, you're right. Here's where all the trouble started. Let's get out in the air.
Yes, come on.
Sure. A gambler. I bet he really took you to the cleaners. Well, you know something I'm not sore at him? Not a bit. Oh, wait, let me turn out the light.
Well, hurry.
Okay, now let's... your phone.
I don't understand.
Who'll be calling at this hour?
Nobody. Must be a wrong number. Come on.
What do you mean, come on? At least answer it. Oh, never mind, I'll take it.
No,
What?
Well, it's on my line.
Then you answer it.
Why are you going to your extension?
Answer the phone, Ruth.
You're starting it all over again.
I said answer the phone. Answer the phone. Ruth, answer the phone. You almost had me believing your fairy tale. You almost made it.
Harry, listen to
me. All I want you to do is sign this release and clear up.
No.
You heard what I said, Ruth.
I'll never sign it.
Okay. One last trick, baby. Look what I got in this drawer.
What?
I asked you to look.
Harry, put away that gun.
I want you to get a good look at it. It's called a war souvenir. Only if you don't sign this release, you know what, baby? Someday I'm going to kill you with this gun.
No,
someday
no.
I'm going to say to you, Ruthie, I'll give you 3 seconds to sign this release. One.
Harry.
Two.
Don't, Harry.
Three.
No.
What's the matter, Ruth?
You tried to kill me.
Don't be silly. I told you it was a trick. The gun's harmless. It's unloaded, see?
Why did you do that to me? Why? Yeah. Put it away.
Isn't it strange? You know it's not loaded and you're still afraid.
Put it away.
That's the beauty of the trick, Ruth. That's why someday you're going to break down and sign that release. You see, you'll never know just when it will be loaded. You'll never know, Ruth.
That night, I made up my bed on the couch in the den. Just hearing him walk, knowing he was in the house, kept me awake. I locked the door, and I lay there. And I must have dozed off in spite of myself, as I came awake with a sudden violence. Fresh air was fanning my face. That couldn't be. The window had been shut. And now the window was open. Harry!
You don't sign the release. Someday I'm going to give you 3 seconds. One.
Harry!
Two.
Don't shoot me, Harry!
Shoot you? You must have had a bad dream. I don't even have the gun.
Oh, no.
Threatening to kill you?
Yes, he has a gun. George, I'm coming to you. You've got
no.
to...
But he follows you here and kills the both of us. Does that make everything just dandy? Look, Ruth, do me a favor, will you? Kind of forget this address from now on.
But, George, don't say that.
I'm sorry.
But you've got to help me. What can I do?
You can go to the police.
Police?
You know, threatening somebody's life is slightly illegal.
Yes. Yes, the police. Yes, of course, they'll help me. Oh, yes, George, that's very smart of you. They'll help me. I went to the police, told them what Harry was trying to do. They instructed one of their men to go with me and investigate. When we reached the lobby of the office building, I couldn't go on. I was afraid to face Harry when the policeman would find the gun.
What's the matter, Mrs. Martin?
Well, I think I better wait down here.
You don't need to be afraid. Come on.
Please. It's on the third floor, officer. You'll see the name on the reception door the minute you get off the elevator. Please, do you mind?
Well, you're really scared, aren't you? All right. I'll be down soon enough.
I began to feel a sense of relief. Harry wouldn't terrorize me any longer. Soon the officer would bring him down. He'd be off to police headquarters, and then I'd swear out a complaint. The time he got out of jail, I would have started proceedings of my own to divorce him. And I started to cry at that. I don't know why, just standing there and waiting. And then I began to wonder what they were doing up there so long. More than a half hour had gone by. When the elevator door opened, I expected to see Harry being pushed along, handcuffed. The officer was all by himself. He was smiling.
Well, now, I just had a nice chat with your husband. You've been worrying for nothing, Mrs. Martin.
But the gun...
Oh, sure, I saw the gun. It's just a war souvenir. It's not even loaded. He doesn't have ammunition for
it. But someday it will be loaded. Someday he's going to kill me. He said that.
Tell you why, he's in love with you, crazy about you. Now, he feels pretty bad about this. He did it just as a... You know, just a funny...
No,
little...
no, I tell you...
He says if you're going to go and get scared, he'll never do it again.
But listen to me.
Now, look, why don't you go on upstairs? He wants to apologize for scaring you like this. He's a very nice guy.
I tell you, he's going to kill me.
You're just upset. Like he said, you've been working too hard. You ought to rest up.
I don't care what you think. I want him arrested for threatening me with a deadly weapon.
An empty gun. That's not a deadly weapon.
Now, listen to me.
No, you listen to me. Even if I wanted to, there's nothing I could do. As long as that gun is empty, it's not a deadly weapon and we can't touch him. In this state, that's the law, Mrs. Martin. Go ask a lawyer about it. Anybody who knows the law knows that.
That's that, I'm afraid. If we can actually prove, Mrs. Martin, that your husband wanted to kill you, then you could put him away for years.
For years?
That's right. But he can't hurt you with an empty gun. And as long as that gun is empty, we can't touch him. In this state, that's the law.
There was nothing I could do. Nothing. Until there was a bullet in the gun, I could do nothing to it. Then the answer came to me. It was so simple. So obvious all the time. What would happen if I put the bullet in the gun? It was late Saturday afternoon. The offices were closed. I went to the desk where he kept the gun.
I found the caliber marked alongside the barrel, 31.6. Put the gun back, closed the drawer. My heart was pounding. I kept saying it all the way to the gun shop. 31.6.
That must be a foreign make. Don't have any bullets of that caliber.
Well, do you know any place that does carry them?
No, not unless you wrote to maybe one of the big outfits back east.
But that would take so long.
Of course, a 32 shell would work just as well if you weren't so fussy.
No. That'd be fine, I'm not at all fussy. I went back to the office. I took out his gun and broke it open. And I opened my purse, took the bullets out. Years in prison, that's what the lawyer said. Well, it'd serve him right after what he'd made me go through. I forced the bullets inside the gun and closed it. Now it was a deadly weapon. I put the gun back in the drawer. I went to my desk to call the police. Now they'd see the gun for themselves. Now they'd see Harry planned to kill me. Years in prison, yes, that's what I wanted him to get.
Police headquarters.
This is Mrs. Martin. My husband has just threatened me with a loaded gun, and I...
Yeah, just a moment, Mrs. Martin. I'll connect you with Sergeant Lewis.
Harry.
Calling George, Ruth?
You think you're so clever, don't you?
No, I'm not very clever. Thought I'd take a ride in the country. Thought it would relax me. Nothing seems to relax me. Everything going to pot around here.
I'll be going.
Still not interested in this release, huh?
I've told you a million times.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you later.
What's your rush? You're not interested in the release? And maybe you might be interested in this souvenir.
Harry.
Turn around and look at it, Ruth. It's part of the little trick, you know.
No.
I said turn around.
Oh.
Isn't it remarkable? Even after all this time, it still fills you with terror.
Put the gun down, Harry.
Someday, it's going to be like I always said.
Don't stop that again.
Someday, I'm going to say, Ruth, I'll give you 3 seconds to sign that release. One.
No.
Two.
No. No, don't shoot. I'll sign it. I'll sign it.
All right, go on.
Put the gun down on the desk.
First, sign it, Ruth. Here's the pen. Sign it.
All right, all right. There. Now, please put down the gun.
Yeah, all right. So, I finally wore you down.
Now, I've got the gun.
What do you think you're going to do with it?
There's something you don't know, Harry, that should interest you very much. This gun isn't empty anymore.
What?
Oh, it's loaded.
So that's what you were doing in the sporting goods shop.
You followed me everywhere, haven't you?
Yeah. I was in luck.
The gun is loaded, Harry. So give me back the paper.
Sorry, Ruth. Not this.
Harry, if you don't give me back the release, I'm going to count three. Just like you, remember? And then I'm going to pull the trigger. Only this time it won't just click. So give me back the paper. All right. One. I tell you, there are bullets in this gun.
I may have it, Ruth.
Give me the paper.
Give me the gun, Ruth.
I mean it, Harry. I'll kill you.
Ruth. Ruth.
I can't. I can't hurt you anymore. I can't.
You stop the crying. Ruth, you baby. If you want the guy, you can have him. And your share of the business, too. The whole works if you want it.
I never wanted anyone but you, Harry.
I must have been crazy. The things I've been doing. Like a crazy dream. Like it wasn't really me. Could you ever understand what went on inside me? Could you try to understand? Do you think you could, Ruth?
Yes, I could try.
Baby, baby. Hey, do you hear what I said? Don't cry. Please, don't cry.
Oh, let me, Harry. Please let me.
Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Ida Lupino with Elliot Lewis. Next Thursday for Suspense, Danny Kaye will be our star. The play is called I Never Met the Dead Man. And it is, as we say, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Bullet is an original radio play by Larry Marcus. Ida Lupino appeared through the courtesy of Filmmakers Incorporated, producers of Never Fear, soon to be released. In the coming weeks, you will hear such stars as Robert Taylor, William Powell, and Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. And don't forget, next Thursday, same time, Autolite will present Suspense, starring Danny Kaye. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From December of 1949, it's been Suspense with the Bullet, guest starring Ida Lupino. Well, that's all we have time for today, but join us again next week at this time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, volio, dodio, do.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.